I want to just say we were talking about open circles, and you mentioned, like, recently we were in Chicago at the two of us along with other members of a circle that we're part of for over 20 years now, which is called the Millionth Circle. That website is millionth, th, like in a hundredth monkey, millionthcircle.org. And when we were there, we participated with several circles that were open circles. And I noticed that, like, sitting down, when I went into a small circle and there were four of us in the circle, and out of the four of us, two had never been in circle before. And they just fell right into it. And what I have to say about that is, maybe going back to the 70s, when people were getting together, especially in women's circles, as
consciousness raising circles.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is, in my opinion, Lauren, there is a zeitgeist. There is a culture now within our larger culture of circles, so that when people come together, there is, as Rupert Sheldrake, the biologist, might say, there is a morphic field that they're tapping into, because so many people have done it for so long now, they just fall right into it. So those open circles are maybe not as difficult as they used to be. Is that your experience?
Yes, I think that's really true. And well, you speak of the Millionth Circle, and I'll just say that, you know, I was involved with circles and starting new circles for about, probably 10 years. And then I had my son, I was working full-time on a more than full-time kind of job. And after a while, I had to let go of some of the circles work I was doing. And then after another 18 years, I moved to Humboldt County. And when I first got there, I read Jean Shinoda Bolen's book, The Millionth Circle, and I read her book, Urgent Message from Mother. And I was just like, of course, this is what I'm here to do. So I haven't been doing it for a few years. Let's get back on it. Although I did really love working at the Toyota first plant in the U.S. The Toyota had teamwork, and there I saw amazing teamwork that we didn't do it just like I do circle now, but there was a lot of room for consensus, for every member of a team to talk, for joint decision making, and a lot of responsibility placed on each individual. And they would bring any challenges they had in the workplace to those conversations. And what I saw there, Justine, was that there was a lot more honesty and respect than in many work environments. Mm. There, safety was a high priority, and it was lived. And quality, building quality for the customer, was another high priority and value. And again, it was lived. People were invested in making their teams safe and in doing quality work and in working together, that they could not do this work by themselves. It took a team. It took teams. It was an amazing experience for me to work at that plant for 10 years. I was head of training and organization development there. I'm the one who got to learn so much.
That's great. Well, you know, Lauren, you mentioned safety several times. So let's talk about how is safety created in a circle environment?
Very good question, because it's so important. Justine, when we start a new circle, the very second meeting, we talk about it in the first meeting, how important confidentiality is, and that our basic agreement is what is said in circle stays in circle. And that now let us prepare in our second meeting, we will talk about and make a decision jointly about what does confidentiality mean in this circle? Because each of us will have somewhat different idea of what we need in confidentiality. And so we want to create what is essentially the most conservative definition of safety so that you will feel that your needs are met around confidentiality. I will, and everyone in the circle will feel that their own needs are being met. And that is the first decision we make as a circle. And that is the first agreement and commitment we make to one another, so that we begin to see that with making agreements with one another, holding confidential what we say in circle, and that we really believe that each of us has needs, unique needs, that we can meet in circle. It's not a zero-sum game. It's not going to be all about meeting my needs and not yours. No, there are ways for us to work together to meet everyone's needs. We really believe that. And it's not about being needy. Uh-huh. No one is regarded as needy. We are human beings that normally have needs. So safety, it will get tested periodically. So maybe I remember one circle, I think it was in the fourth meeting, a woman came in and said, you know, I need to talk about an old habit that I have. I realize that I gossip. And that means that sometimes I talk behind someone's back. And I realize when we talked about confidentiality in the circle, I was rather afraid of making the commitment to hold confidentiality. And, you know, I have done so, but I want to talk about this habit that I have had of gossiping, because I realize it is not serving me and it is not serving my friends, my family, the people that I want to build trust with. So she talked for quite some time about how her habit of gossiping had developed and what she was going to do to halt that and make that change in herself. And she asked for us to help her, to talk with her, check in periodically about how she was doing with that. And, you know, just by her bringing it up made us realize that all of us can slip and can say something out of turn, but it reminded us we wanted to not do that. And just briefly, also a couple of weeks later, one woman said, you know, I realize that often when I'm talking to my children or someone about essentially what is the moral of my story, sometimes I want to be able to refer to a story that one of you told. And I would like to know if I could have permission to tell your story if I don't use your name and I don't use any, you know, reference to qualities that might help someone know who you are, but rather to be able to use your story to show what's possible to someone else. So we had, again, another conversation about what does confidentiality mean and under what circumstances might it be modified so that we can share the wisdom that we've gotten from Circle.
Oh, that's so beautiful. What a wonderful example of how it can move and shift our agreements, and they expand as the needs expand. But this brings up, I think you mentioned briefly the phrase clearing the air. So, yeah. So yeah. If we if we do have some conflicts, where I think grow up is an conflict aversion society in some ways. Well, maybe not so much these days, but in 2023. but anyway, here we are, clearing the air. Where does that fit into circle work?
You know, I think you're right. We still have essentially a conflict averse society, in the sense of, do I tell my friend? Do I tell my family member? Do I tell my close others what's really going on, if I feel that in some way their behavior is keeping me from meeting my needs or being true to myself? How do I speak up about that? And first of all, it's very important, and we talk a lot in circle, or periodically in circle, about being both respectful and honest. So we actually have some very specific communication tools that we use. And one of the first that we introduce is requests. I make a request. Can I safely ask for what I need? And when I do that, no one else is required to respond or required to do what I'm requesting. But they could say, sure. So if I request, you know, I need a walking partner. I used to be walking every day and now I'm not. And I'd really like a walking partner. Please let me know if you're up for walking once a week or a couple times a week, because that would really help me get back to my walking habit. So I make my request and then I just wait and see if someone is able to make some kind of response that will speak to my need. But no pressure. Then confusion and misunderstanding can quickly occur. It does every day for us humans. So I could say, I have an unclear feeling. And it could be anything from, did we agree that we're going to meet at Leslie's house next week? Or are we going to meet at the library again? So it could be a very practical confusion that I'm feeling. Or it could be, Angela, when you spoke, I felt like I might have interrupted you. And I might not have heard the end of what you were saying. Could you tell me again your key point? So I might ask, because I want to make sure I understood what Angela was saying. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to remind our people, I'm here with Dr. Lauren Oliver, and she is the co-author of Circle Culture. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions. With Dr. Lauren J. Oliver, the co-author of Circle Culture. And we're talking about bringing up requests and when we have confusions. And I want to tell a story of where I did it badly. I mean, really badly. But it was a legitimate concern. This was my basic women's circle. And I became very aggravated through time by one member in the circle because she consistently came late. And even when she was in the circle, she consistently kind of laid back and sort of slouched and didn't show in her body language an appreciation of deep listening or that she was even present. And it really bugged me. And we actually were very simpatico in that circle and had come to lots of different moments of really agreement with one another of how we viewed life. And out of the blue, I just said in the circle how that bugged me, just without any warning.
Yeah.
Without any permission, without anything. You can imagine what that felt like to her. I mean, it was shocking to her, so much so she left the circle.
Wow.
And I want to just say an addendum. We now are very good friends. And in fact, she has been a guest on New Dimensions, and I so appreciate her. So all is forgiven. But there's an example of something that's really bugging us in the circle with another person. So how do we bring it up in a safe container?
Yes, very good question and wonderful, humble example. So I used to say, ask permission. Basically, we let a person know that we'd like to do a clearing with them. And we usually name it. So, for example, say I have a hunch. So I might say, you know, Justine, I have a hunch. Are you willing to hear it? So it's just like knocking on the door. When you don't just burst into someone's room or their home, you knock on the door to say, can I come in? And usually the person will say yes. Now, sometimes they might say, gee, I'm just feeling so under the weather. I can't hear anything. Can we talk tomorrow on the phone, you know, and set another time? So then when I get the okay that I can share my hunch, I'll say, you know, I have a hunch that you're ambivalent about being in the circle. I feel distressed and even like not valued when you come late. And when you sit here and you're so laid back, I get fearful that you're not really listening or wanting to be here. So I'm wondering if you can validate a grain of truth to my hunch.
That's such a wonderful way. If I had done it that way, she might have left the circle anyway. She might have really discovered, oh, there's a grain of truth there. I'm really not present. And I suspect that that was a grain of truth in that situation. Yes. So thank you so much for that. And I want to also talk about beyond that is what I call, I call it developing a circle stamina. You know, in other words, when we are asked to deeply listen to one another, we're not trained for that. We are coming to that without a lot of personal training. And just like a marathon runner, it doesn't start off running full speed, you know, several miles a day. You know, we've to train ourselves for deep listening. And I know you have some advice as to how to approach that.
Thank you, Justine. Yes, you know, this book, Circle Culture, Tools for Cooperative Work, lays out 12 sessions to start your circle. And what I say is, you don't need to go somewhere or pay someone to start your circle. You can do it yourself. And with shared leadership, you do it. And this book also gives you tools that unfold over the first 12 weeks because yes, we do have to create stamina. We do listening exercises. We do exercises about what are my values? And then later, you know, about 4 weeks later, we look at what are our values as a circle. The tools for clearing the air, we introduce just one each session. We can't bombard ourselves with so much new information because, as you say, where did I get that training? Did I get it in my family? Did I get it at school? No. So this is a different set of skills that most of us have not had an opportunity to learn. It takes some time. It takes some commitment. But I believe in these 12 sessions, we build the basic mastery and stamina and a sense of cohesion within the circle that gives us the confidence that we can learn and grow together, that each of you in my circle is important to helping me become the best I can be. Because that's what I want in life. I want self-knowledge, self-awareness to become my best. And then I want to use my talents to help and support others to become their best. And then often, not only is the cooperation developing and growing stronger within the circle, but sometimes after 6 months or so, somebody will say, hey, there's a multicultural event coming up next month. Let's do something. I think we could do a really exciting event there. And so then we start cooperating on a project that takes us out into the community and creates some supportive structure in the community. But until we learn that set of cooperative structures to share with one another and really learn to practice them, it's hard to bring it out somewhere else. I also believe, Justine, that we are building the tools for democracy in a circle. Shared leadership, that's a basic idea of democracy, not representative, you know, electing someone else. No, it's that we participate in sharing our voices and putting our ideas out and then coming to some agreement about, okay, what can we do together to make that exist, to bring that possibility into flowering?
I love that. And I just want to underline that your book really outlines all of this. So I just encourage people to look it up. And I'm reminded in what you just said of our New Dimensions Manifesto, the personal and the planetary are connected as we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so will the world be changed. And it's like that Margaret Mead quote that you started this whole program with, yeah, that it is small groups that really make the change. I don't want to leave our conversation without having you say something about closing the circle with appreciation and praise and really how important that is to our gatherings.
Indeed. Thank you so much, Justine, because, you know, most of us walk around and we engage with people and we'll feel like, wow, that was so smart what she just said, or, oh, how kind he is. I really appreciate that. Or, you know, what a delicious meal she cooked up for us. Or, you know, there are so many things people do and so many ways people are that we value. But we live in this strange society that puts scarcity, the fable of scarcity, so front for us all that we have stopped saying out loud the appreciations we have. And what a loss for the positive, the love, the connection that we do feel. So I realize it's a skill that we need to rebuild. And that often it feels very awkward to share an appreciation. And especially after a while, we say, okay, now appreciate yourself. That feels like, oh, wait, that's bragging and I'm being arrogant and, oh, I should never do that. But wait, how can you notice your own best qualities that you want to repeat, that you want to do again tomorrow? So saying appreciations out loud is just, it's a gift. It's a gift. Let us give the gifts we have.
Oh, thank you so much. Lauren, I want to thank you so much for being with us on New Dimensions today. You've been a gift to us with all of your insights and wisdom. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Dr. Lauren J. Oliver. She is a co-author with Bonnie Burstein of Circle Culture, Tools for Cooperative Work. And if you want to know more about her work, go to circleculture.us. That's circleculture.us. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You've been listening to New Dimensions. This is program number 3798.
New Dimensions Radio has been making a difference on our planet since 1973, thanks to the generosity of our listeners. You too can help make a difference with a tax-deductible donation or membership. Please visit our website, newdimensions.org, and just click the donate button. You can also subscribe to our free weekly podcasts and find over 1,000 hours of audio dialogues in our searchable archive. New Dimensions is produced by New Dimensions Radio in Santa Rosa, California, USA. Our executive producer is Justine Willis-Toms. Our post-production editor is Lou Judson. For over 4 decades, New Dimensions has been producing weekly conversations at the leading edge. We sincerely thank all of you who have supported us by being members of Friends of New Dimensions, as well as members of our affiliate stations. My name is Dan Drayson. On behalf of everyone at New Dimensions, whose endeavors make this program possible, I'm wishing you well. New Dimensions Radio is an independent producer supported by listener contributions. To find out more about the program you've just heard, to subscribe to our free weekly newsletter and our New Dimensions and New Dimensions Cafe podcasts, and to access thousands of other programs in the New Dimensions archive, please visit our website, newdimensions.org. That's newdimensions.org. Or call us at 707-468-5215. That's 707-468-5215. Please join us next time as we explore New Dimensions. New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. Each week, New Dimensions explores the social, political, scientific, environmental, and spiritual frontiers with some of today's foremost social innovators, thinkers, scientists, and creative artists.
Hi, I'm David Bedrick. I'm the author of Revisioning Activism. Next time on New Dimensions, I'll be talking about depth, dialogue, and diversity, and bringing that to individual and social change.
You're listening to CJ.